It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning as we round out the month of July. The world never seems to get any more peaceful, does it? A missile launch from North Korea towards Japan, targeting Japan, evidently lands in the ocean. I love the report that continued to say towards the economic region of Japan, and it didn't hit anything, evidently landed the sea, and the markets didn't even ripple. I thought that the Dow would be down 500 points as soon as I read that. Wait a minute. Nothing. No reaction. Nothing. No reaction whatsoever. Maybe it's because the U.S. already spends more on defense than the next eight countries combined. Maybe that's it. Maybe we just have no fear of North Korea. Maybe we look at North Korea and we're ready just to pounce as if similar to how a child would think about it. My children, they wake up to Yahoo News or something on the computer and they'll say, "Dad, they just launched a missile. Is this a scary thing?" And they say, "Well," I say, "Well, probably not, because we can deal with North Korea." And they say, "Yeah, we can just wipe them off the map, right, Dad?" Maybe that's the exact same thing the stock market thinks. They're just, maybe the U.S. is not scared of North Korea at all, and we're ready just to do something. The House just this week passed, by the way, an almost $800 billion bill to increase the Pentagon's budget and build a U.S.-Mexico border wall. Maybe, again, that's another reason that we continue to be so superior to countries like this that we're just not worried about it. Maybe that's it. Of course, that's a stay tuned as things develop on that. Healthcare, every way you slice it, repeal, replace, whether it's the skinny package, the healthcare a better way, you name it, dead on arrival. All of it gone. As I said, what happened last week, it's exactly what happened this week. No movement. It's completely dead now. Healthcare talk will go into the abyss for now. And we're going to move on to taxes. We're going to move on to this giant PR tax tsunami as the Trump administration is going to sell the new, what's newly important for the economy. And you're going to be hearing a lot about it over the next 3 or 4 months, really up to the end of the year. We'll touch on that. But that's the next step here. We move on to taxes. Next this week, the Fed does essentially nothing, or did essentially nothing in the July meeting. It just met this week, came out, said, "Look, we're not going to do anything." And you know what? That's fine. They are still waiting for inflation. Well, how about earnings? Well, earnings, among the biggest stories this week, and really it's the underlying current and the tide and what really matters to markets. Boeing up 14%. After a huge earnings report, McDonald's did the same thing after besting numbers up about 1.4% on the week. Caterpillar, solid numbers up 5.5% on the week. And Samsung, if you take a look at Samsung, record profit and record revenue. Samsung has been known for more volume than Apple with their smartphones, but lower profits, less margin, etc. That's probably going to change, though. This quarter was enormous for them. $55 billion in revenue, $12.5 billion in profit for the quarter. Apple is coming up this week in earnings season. Estimated to have done about $45 billion in revenue and $10.5 billion in profit. So both of those stocks have had a huge run this year. Apple up 29%. Samsung, in terms of their local currency, the yuan, up around 32%. Both stocks doing very well. So this is the world that we live in. We are still, what Trump's, all of the discourse in Washington and all of this, let's call this a new political low of nothing and nothing and nothing getting done. The fighting is at a high. The political conflict index is close to an all-time high, which is a real political index that gets measured now by the Philadelphia Fed. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. As bad as Washington has gotten, the market just continues to discount it and moves right on. The reason, a big part of the reason, has to do with these very important earnings reports that continue to come out. So you get companies like Boeing and McDonald's and Caterpillar and Samsung, they blow earnings out of the water. That's really what the market cares about. And we're going to continue to see that. We are probably, or we're close to about halfway done earnings for this, for second quarter 20, what's getting reported today, second quarter 2017. We're already about halfway done. And it looks as though we're going to get yet another quarter of double-digit growth. The first quarter, we had 15% earnings growth from that time over the previous year. This quarter, we're going to get another 12 to 13 to 14% growth. So as a whole, the earnings recession is over. The earnings recession that was 2014, flat earnings. 2015, flat earnings. 2016, flat earnings. Again, effectively, profits from companies in the S&P 500 going virtually nowhere for three straight years. That's officially behind us. You get a 15% first quarter 2017, you get a 12 to 13% second quarter 2013, and all of a sudden you look at the market and you say, well, S&P 500, is it undervalued? No, by any historical measure, it's not. It's not as though we're trading at 10, 11 times profits. We're trading closer to 18. Let's call that fully valued or slightly overvalued, but by no means enormously overvalued. And that might be, and that is very likely, a big reason why here we are at the end of July and we get a stock market that continues to be higher and grind higher and grind higher. And that's exactly what's happening. For the week, the Dow up about 1.1%, S&P 500 essentially flat, NASDAQ down 0.2%. Year to date, the Dow up 10.4 and the S&P 500 up, again, 10.4, similar to the Dow. The NASDAQ up 18%. Let's talk a little bit about gross domestic product, which, by the way, just got reported this week for the second half of 2017. More Goldilocks numbers. So we've been getting used to this for 8 years now. 2.6% is actually a little bit on the high end from what we've gotten used to, but still very much in this not too hot, not too cold environment. Really just kind of a frustrating number for Americans to get used to or for our economy to grow at. Doesn't quite do the job. Now, it's not I'd take 2.6 over negative 2.6 all day long. We've added back millions of jobs during this economic recovery since the great, great recession of 07 and 08. But I'll reiterate, until we get back to 3 to 3.5% range, which is, we're not going to be comfortable as an economy, as a workforce, as a labor force, as families, as a nation, until we get back to that range. For almost 50 years, we grew in America at about a 3.1% per annum GDP, gross domestic product growth clip. 3.1%. Since the Great Recession, despite the recovery that we've gotten, we've grown at a 1.9% clip on average. Now, that might not sound like a tremendous difference. Hey, Wes, isn't that really just saying we've gone from about 3% down to 2? It's really not that big of a deal. Well, not when you really do the numbers on a nearly $20 trillion economy. It's a very big number. 3.1 down to 1.9 is a 35%+ deceleration. That's how we're going that much slower. Let me give you an equivalency or an equivalent in miles per hour. That's the equivalent of going 60 miles an hour, and that's what we got used to for, let's call it, over 40 years on the highway for a cross-country trip. Let's go from New York to LA. It's about 2,800 miles. I'm going 60 miles an hour almost the entire way. And then when I have 400 miles left, so I'm almost done the trip, but still 400 miles. Now I've got to slow down to 39 miles an hour. From 60 down to 39, you've got to go 39 for the rest of the way. Imagine the frustration that you'd have behind the wheel. That's what's happened to the pace of growth in America. And we're experiencing that collective frustration right now. That's a giant part of why the political environment, not just here in the United States, but around the world, with the rise of Trump and Bernie Sanders and Le Pen and nations across the world that voters and the population is just frustrated. And there's this underlying grimace that's continuing to bubble up and groundswell. And we're seeing it here in the United States. It may get glossed over with the number 2.6. Doesn't sound all that bad. And it's really not terrible, but it's just not enough to lift Americans out of middle class, out of the same wages that we've been seeing for decades and decades. And that's exactly what's happening here in America. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. A couple of the main topics I want to get to today. Yield at cost. When you get to a market that trades at all-time highs, you start to say to yourself, well, is this same orchestra going to continue, or is there another way to look at markets for income? And if I'm really looking at income, I want to look at what I consider to be probably the most powerful way to understand how dividends really matter over time. Doesn't matter over a year, doesn't matter over 2 years, but you look out 5 and 10 and 15 years, which you should be looking at as an investor, as a time horizon. The real power of dividends is not what you get today, but the growth of that dividend over time. It's a metric I call yield at cost. It's been a long time since I've updated or shared anything about that with you, and I want to take a couple of stocks like Lockheed Martin and Disney and IBM, J&J, and talk about what is the yield at cost if we had bought these shares a decade or so ago. What would the real dividend be today on my original price? I also want to talk about the three mistakes that unhappy retirees make. And then in the 9:30 hour, we're going to have Mary McCormick on. Mary is the senior development director for Children's Legacy Giving at the Aflac Cancer Center. We just finished up a record WSB Carathon this Thursday and Friday, where we raised $1.75 million. That's the highest that you've done as listeners helping us in the last 17 years of doing so. So thank you for Thursday and Friday and your participation. We're going to talk to Mary McCormick from Aflac here in the 9:30 block. News, weather, traffic, straight ahead, then more Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Unprecedented calm in 2017, so far at least, despite just very public starts and stops in Washington. There have only been 4 trading days this year for the S&P 500 that are down more than 1%. Only 4 of them. That's only 3% of trading time so far. What's normal? 24% of the time. Hence, down days are going to pick up. Down days will pick up. One thing that's always true in markets, and it's very rare that I can ever say anything absolute about markets, and that is a concept called reversion to the mean. Reversion to the mean, it just means that stocks can't and won't grind higher and higher and higher without some sort of pause. Now, it doesn't mean that stocks aren't going to finish the year higher, and we might very well, and we have a high likelihood, if you go back and look at 5 years that, if you go and find 5 separate calendar years that have a similar low volatility pattern at the beginning of the year, 5 years look the most like what we've seen so far in 2017, we end up the final end of the year higher, but volatility picks up in every case. And quite frankly, there's almost no way for it not to pick up, because it's setting records of low volatility. So again, it doesn't mean that we're not going to see and grind, stock markets don't eventually grind higher by the end of 2017, but just don't expect a ride without some speed bumps. Now, the other thought here is that we're going to continue to keep a good eye on what I really believe, I'm going to just call this the Trump tax reform book tour that we're about to start hearing a lot about. Sources in Washington, my sources have noted that there's a tremendous amount of work that's being done right now in tax reform. And this time, instead of flailing on the marketing selling side of the thing, of the equation. I think you're going to see an administration that is really going to bring it from a public relations standpoint. It's going to be a tax reform tsunami, from what I can tell. So healthcare, it just, first of all, they did it, our leaders, let's say, Congress did a really bad job of selling to the public the new healthcare proposal. For the most part, I understand that, because I don't think they had a real solution. Healthcare is just so complicated to get right, and there's so many different families and situations that are involved that it is an impossible case to make everybody happy. So I don't think they had a great solution to begin with. It's kind of like trying to sell a new book or a new movie with a bad title. It just doesn't work. But the new book they're trying to sell is a lot easier. The title on this one, it's really simple. It's just lower taxes. If it had a subtitle, it'd be how to put more money in everyone's pocket and grow everything under the economic sun. That's a book that'll hit the bestseller list. And that's exactly what is brewing right now in Washington. They released a one-pager several months ago, and it really had a chapter for everyone to get excited about. So American families love the prospect of 1% to 3% lower tax bills. CEOs love lower corporate tax and a repatriation holiday. And business owners love the idea of all the components that could be in the new reform. So we're going to hear a lot more of that in the coming weeks. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters. Coming up, Mary McCormick, Senior Director of Development for Children's Legacy Giving Program at the Aflac Cancer Center. Stay tuned right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. And I would say it's a pretty beautiful day. Sunny and hot. It is getting into August almost here. Sunny, hot the next few days. Slightly lower humidity. I would say this morning was kind of one of the most comfortable mornings that I can remember in a long time. And I think that's the lower humidity at 68% right now. High today, about 88. Lows in the upper 60s tonight. High tomorrow, around the same, 87, 88, and a little more comfortable. So good morning, welcome to Money Matters. In just a second, we're going to have Mary McCormick on from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. She's the Senior Director of Development for Children's Legacy, their giving program. We're just coming off of a really successful couple days with the WSB Carathon. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, I want to get back to some of the topics that we've been trying to get to in the last couple of weeks, particularly revisiting yield at cost, which is a really powerful tool when it comes to dividend or income investing. It really talks about the longevity of buying a company and over time having the dividend grow along with the share price, so that you can understand the power of what your yield would be if you compared it to what you originally invested, which is a really is a very important way to look at being an income investor. But with that, and before we get to all that, I want to get to the phones here and bring on Mary McCormick. Mary, are you here with me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Wes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for all that you do with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and supporting Aflac, the Cancer Center. And I've told our listeners a little bit about this success in the last couple of days, but maybe if you can just give a recap for us and the relationship that you guys have had with WSB, maybe how it got started and how it's contributed so much to your cause.
Well, we are so appreciative to the listeners of WSB, and especially to Scott Slade and Clark Howard, for the many years that they have spearheaded this effort to bring hope to the children who benefit from the Aflac Cancer Center. This has been in existence for just over 20 years, and in that time, WSB Carathon has supported the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Aflac Cancer Center with over $20 million in gifts, which has made a tremendous difference in the lives of these children.
Well, it really is. And this year we were at about $1.75 million for giving just in the 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So really a tremendous thanks to our listeners at WSB. And by the way, you can still donate as you wrap up. And really, this is a multi-day event that effectively we wrap up here on a Sunday, and it can still continue over the next several days. But our listeners can still donate if they missed this to WSB Radio, or you can donate on WSBRadio.com to the Aflac Cancer Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And we just thank you so much for your participation. It is always such a fulfilling couple of days to hear the stories of the families that you guys are able to help through the research, and just so much progress in cancer research over the last several years, and it's a great feeling to be able to contribute to that. Let's talk about, though, well, first of all, Mary, where do the funds go? Is it just research? Is it care of families? What's the primary use of the money?
With every dollar that is given to support the Aflac Cancer Center goes, first of all, where the donor directs. If they have chosen to create an endowment that specifically supports research, then every dollar of that goes towards research. If they have given it unrestricted to support the Aflac Cancer Center, then it may support research. Dr. Graham's great strategic plan that he is in the process of implementing, as well as our child life specialist, our Canines for Kids that support just the children in the Aflac Cancer Center. It goes to support the nurses and the equipment and the space that these children are treated in.
Mary, if you can explain, though, I think that you go through a couple of days like we just went through, and you think, as a listener, folks called in, gave $50 or $100 or $1,500, and they might have gotten dinner with Matt Ryan or something fun like that as well, but the money goes to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And you think of these pledges that are a certain dollar amount, which is really one way to give, but you deal with giving that is really, or it's technically legacy giving. So if you can explain that to our audience, what is the difference between legacy giving or giving through endowments? And how is that different than a $1,000 pledge through the phone lines?
Well, we definitely need those $1,000 pledges or those $25 per month pledges that give us current support for the services that we provide. But the legacy piece is something that all of our listeners can really get behind, because this is a deferred gift that doesn't affect their current income. It's something that they can make a commitment. If they feel strongly about supporting the children in the Aflac Cancer Center, then they could include the Aflac Cancer Center as a beneficiary of their will or trust, a beneficiary of an insurance policy, or of their IRA or retirement plan, as well as simple things like a pay on death of their bank accounts.
Oh, so something like a transfer on death account that can be titled at any bank or brokerage firm, and instead of having, let's say, a spouse on a particular account that goes directly to them, you could actually list Children's Healthcare of Atlanta as the beneficiary.
That is
now
correct.
Now let's get into that just a little bit. If you do that, Mary, which is a really very simple thing to do, how then do you help the family really pre-direct to that? So you set something up today that may not go into effect for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years that is effectively on an account. Does that account then go, is a trust listed as the effectively the joint owner of that, not the joint owner, but the beneficiary of that, or how does that work?
The beneficiary would be listed as Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Foundation, and we have a very simple form that that we can use to direct it specifically to the Aflac Cancer Center when it is received. And we prefer that we have those on file because sometimes, especially with insurance policies or retirement plans, those transfer forms that are provided by the custodians don't give enough room to subdirect. So we like to have that form. So it's important that anyone who is wanting to do this be in contact with us so that we can provide them with something that they can use to specify exactly how they want their gift used.
Which I think really makes a lot of sense too, Mary, is that when you're going to create some sort of legacy like this, and you're giving away or you're designating a significant amount of money, whether it's $5,000 or $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million, if you're designating an account or an entire IRA or an insurance policy, then I would suspect, Mary, those families are meeting with you guys at some point to make sure that everything is in line to do that. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is definitely what our preference is. And we also want the opportunity to thank them for including Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Aflac Cancer Center as part of their legacy, and that we can honor that going forward. So we would include them in our legacy circle. We host a luncheon annually to honor those members who have formally documented their deferred gift to benefit Children's.
And then a couple of other questions then. If you want to do this, let's say a family, someone's in their 50s or their 60s and they're starting to do this today, Mary, and they're going to leave a significant amount of money upon their death way out in the future. What are you seeing families though doing today that lead up to that? Is it a charitable remainder trust? Is it some sort of program that they're giving a certain amount once a year that might lead up to that in the long run? But what are some of the most popular strategies that you've seen that can kind of bridge a gap that donates to you guys today in front of a legacy type gift?
Some of the ways that they do that are through when they create a donor advised fund and they direct the donor advised fund to issue distributions to charities, and they include Children's Aflac Cancer Center as one of those beneficiaries. When they are looking at setting up their income stream in retirement, they may use some strategies like a charitable remainder trust to move assets into to create a current tax advantageous situation for them, and they can defer the income to themselves, maybe even send that income to Children's until the time that they need it.
So there are a lot of different ways to do this, and again, another strategy that I've seen gain popularity over the last several years, of course, are these donor advised funds. Fidelity has one of the leading programs in the world, and they have a wonderful donor advised program. I had Carrie Pomerantz or Schwab Pomerantz on, who runs charitable giving for Charles Schwab Corporation. They have a wonderful donor advised fund as well that she effectively runs. And those are really simple ways to be able to direct funds, well, of course, while you're living in a tax advantageous way. So again, there's a lot of progress that you guys have made, Mary. And as we wrap up, what would you say the thing you're most proud of in the years that you've been in this role as the development director for Children's?
I'm so proud of the fact that our donor population, the constituents who support Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and the Aflac Cancer Center, are embracing the idea of creating permanent legacies. They've already created a legacy of support by their annual gifts, but understanding that We will need that in the future to help truly make the difference and to put those instruments in place today that will help us tomorrow.
And the fight does not end ever. And Mary, what's the best way to get in touch with your team or to donate and get in touch with you guys?
The best way to get in touch with me is my email address is Mary, M-A-R-Y, dot McCormack at choa.org or 404-785-9481.
And again, if any of our listeners didn't catch that and want to just email me and the team, we certainly forward those emails to Mary McCormack and her team at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta in support of Aflac Cancer Center. Mary, have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Thank you so much for all that you do. We wish you the very best, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you so much, Wes.
Thanks,
have a wonderful
Mary.
Sunday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Again, here in the studio, I'll forward any, if you have any questions for Mary as well, I can certainly facilitate that by emailing me through wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here on WSB Radio, straight ahead. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. It is a Sunday morning. We're here live. As usual, we'll get to the phones in the 10 o'clock hour. So if you have financial questions that have been on your mind all week or all month or all year, and you have a couple of minutes, you want to chat and get some direction or an answer to your question, or at least get pointed in the right direction so that you can make the best decision in the 10 o'clock hour coming up, give us a call here in the studio for a live Money Matters. And I'm happy to chat. The number here, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. 750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Sunny and hot for the next few days. Slightly lower humidity, 68 right now in the humidity. Makes it feel a little more comfortable. But a high of around 88 today. Lows in the upper 60s tonight. Tomorrow, high of 87. Weather brought to you by Shoemate. Another thing that, again, has been driving these markets, of course, we talked briefly about earnings. McDonald's, Caterpillar, Boeing, all blowing away earnings expectations this week, and the stock's up tremendously as a result. What gets me about Samsung, again, Samsung is the world's leading smartphone maker. Of course, you think of Apple and iPhones as a smartphone leader, and they are from a profit perspective. Samsung may be catching up to them, but Samsung also has a tremendous amount of revenue that comes from memory chips, and that's actually a big part of what drove earnings to new heights this past quarter. $7.2 billion in operating profits, or about half of their total earnings number, just from the memory chip division. And the momentum could really continue for the rest of the year. They're going to have a new, again, Samsung's next smartphone, the Galaxy Note 8, and continued demand for these memory chips. They're also benefiting from the success of their rivals. So you, again, who else do they sell to? And this is from Daiwa's SK Kim, who's an analyst that covers this space. Samsung is going to see a meaningful revenue increase upcoming thanks to the supply of display panels to a major smartphone customer. Who do you think that is? Well, the answer, it's Apple. Apple is buying these display panels from Samsung. And Apple has reportedly ordered tens of millions of Samsung display panels for their next iPhone. So just a tremendous story that continues to gain momentum in the smartphone space. When we come back, we want to go to the phones. We're going to talk about yield and cost, a powerful tool if you are an income investor and you happen to invest in stocks that pay dividends. Then three mistakes of unhappy retirees. All this 10 o'clock hour, Money Matters, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.